Welcome to the Generic Board Gaming Podcast, all the board gaming content you could possibly want at a fraction of the price. I'm your American host, Philip.
And I'm your European host, Vic. And it's actually quite a weight to shoulder that I'm the European host and I'm covering all of Europe, everything.
And if you were actually physically on the European continent, that would be something even more special. But as it is, you're out on a small little dinky island.
Wet island. Yeah, it's raining at the moment. Philip, lovely introduction. Great to see you with clothes on. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing dandy. I'm really, really excited that the fine folks at Eagle Griffin Games finally made me a promo for my number one game of all time, Baseball Highlights 2045. And, you know, and of course, in Randall's comment to social media, he did mention that I'm painfully shy. So I'm glad I have this podcast to overcome my painful shyness.
I used to work with somebody in sales, and they used to say that people bought stuff off them just to get them off the line. So it was probably easier just to do a promo than, you know. No, anyway, that's cruel. Listen, we're talking about all things digital because, well, some people weren't happy with the fact that we were talking about how good apps are. So let's double down and annoy everyone else and talk about digital games. But before we say that, I think before we talked on this, we're both in agreement about what we think about digital versions of board games, which is dead air.
I don't think we're in agreement, but go on.
No, I think that board games in person are the best way to enjoy them. There is nothing better than facing your opponents a safe distance across a table and placing the board in the center of the table as per the rules and having at it. And there's nothing that beats that whole thing.
Agreed.
But it's not always possible due to many, many reasons. And you can still get a kick out of digital board games when you can't get to meet in person. And that's all fine and dandy. It's not a replacement. It's an addition.
I agree with that. And look, for some games, it's very difficult to play, over the internet and play asynchronously because the board is very big. There's a lot going on. The more complicated the game, the more difficult it is to play online to keep track of everything that's going on. But I do play. I always have some games going on Board Game Arena with three friends who are scattered throughout the United States. Right, I'm in Washington D.C., which is on the Eastern Seaboard. Got one friend near Chicago, one friend near Dallas, and one friend up in Seattle. So, okay. That's a lot of different time zones. Well, it's actually only three time zones, but it's a lot of distance between the four of us, and we get to play games online and make fun of each other that way. But I think there is a place for it. There is a place for playing games over the internet and, you know, digital apps. But I don't want to say that it will ever take the place of, pushing little wooden cubes around of various shapes. That certainly is a lot more fun.
Yeah, no, once the technology, technology is not there for simulating pushing wooden cubes around. I think the scientists are working on it, but they haven't quite got there with it. So until that day, which will probably be in, not within your lifetime, possibly mine, we'll keep doing it face to face. Let's talk about, I love the way we start a podcast by saying, what was it we said we'd talk about?
We're talking about digital apps. We're talking about digital games.
And we quickly jumped into it. As we age, what will happen is we'll stop in the middle of these and wander off and have to pause the recording. But what I was going to talk about and what we were going to talk about, apart from our top five, because we're the type of people that think it's important, there's a couple of different areas. Now, We're preaching to the converted here, or we're preaching to people that disagree. So, but there may be some people out there who don't play online or, don't know what it's about. For the benefit of those one or two people, we'll quickly kind of go over a little bit about what it's all about. So, as we said, you don't get to meet in person. It's geographically, you know, not possible. Or you just fancy a bit of gaming late at night before you go to bed. And there is nothing better than board games, as you and I agree. So there's quite an amount of options open there for you to play digital games, be it against an AI or against an opponent. And what I find is, like yourself, at any given time, I have a certain amount of games running in the background. So I'll get my turn in, somebody else, when they get the chance, will get their turn in, and it'll just repeat like that. And that's a wonderful thing. It makes my day better. Probably doesn't make their day better because I'm playing against them, but it really kind of adds to my experience of games, which is like a passion of mine.
Oh dear God, please, let's not talk about your exotic dancing career.
I wish we could. Maybe we should do a whole podcast on it. So one of the things, like, you have really two options when it comes to online board gaming. Either you do it through your PC or your Mac, obviously not your Mac unless you're Philip, or you do it on your phone. And there are pluses and minuses to this.
I'm actually going to disagree a little bit.
Okay.
So
you have the floor.
Thank you. So it's actually more than just what device you do it on. It's where the app or the competition actually exists, right? So you have on one hand apps that you can buy for your phone or for the PC or through Steam, right? Steam has a lot of board games on it. But also you have websites that allow you to play games with others. Mm-hmm. So the one that I use quite frequently is Board Game Arena, which can be used, on your PC, your Mac, your Android, or your iOS, for those poor unfortunates using iOS. But it's not only where does the app exist, but it's how it's implemented. And that can have dramatic differences on the experience in which you play.
Nope, you're right. I'm totally in agreement with you. I was kind of getting to that, but I know you're an excitable kind of a gentleman. So, you had to jump in there. There's a couple of, let's talk about things like platforms like Board Game Arena. You like to, you're kind of tomato, I'm tomato. You seem to like Board Game Arena, which I promise to sign up for and get going, and we will get a game going, which is super because, an async is a wonderful thing. And for the listeners who don't know what async is, earlier board games, you with multiplayer, you would connect and Philip would connect and John would connect and we would all play them real time at the same time, which is super if you can get people together at the same time. An async, which means asynchronous, it's not synchronized at the same time, allows Philip to take his turn in a game, Mikey or Mary to take their turn, and it comes around to me, Vic, and I take my turn, and it goes around in that cycle. And it's at the pace that I want. There's no pressure on me, like an old TV series, to see it at a particular time or go in at a certain time. And that has pluses. There are some games like Blood Bowl and kind of almost tabletop games that work better when it is, at the same time and you're working on it. But for classic board games where I take my turn, you take my turn, or even when we do, simultaneously turns, asynchronous is the way to go, in my opinion, because we're busy people, not just myself and Philip.
So asynchronous is the way to go for a lot of these games, and especially if you're playing a game that, that we affectionately call multiplayer solitaire, where what you do has limited effect on what other people do. And certainly async is great for that. For games where what I like to call is that, yes, we're taking turns at, going around the table, but there's a certain flow and you're watching certain things. It's much easier to get a sense of how someone is progressing with their strategy when you're sitting around the table, because you get to see what's going on and you don't have these gaps between your moves. Because one of the things I find is in some games, asynchronously, I lose track of what other people are doing. And I have to go back and try. And yes, you have the history file. And yes, you know, you can see what the history of moves and you can kind of figure it out. But that takes a certain amount of time. And you sort of lose the flow of the game. And so a lot of my mistakes in async is because I have forgotten the flow of the game. And I'm like, oh, wait, you know, Chris did this and Simon did that and Gabe did something else. Mm-hmm. And I just totally missed it. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that it is what it is. So for smaller games, I think, and for multiplayer solitaire games, I think async is great. But for games where it really requires you to think through the flow, it's a lot harder. So I would say like Twilight Struggle is probably a game that would, you know, that is a game that plays well asynchronously, and I've never won against Vic. But there is other games where it's much, much more difficult, like a game with a much larger board, like Gaia Project, right? Gaia Project is implemented on BGA. It's a fantastic game. But tracking everything that's going on, all the player boards, you know, the end of round and end of game scoring conditions, the map itself, what's going on your board, there's just a lot going on, and it's very hard to do that on a computer screen, a large computer screen, let alone on a cell phone.
What I would say, I find, well, cell phones I struggle with in some games because it's just so bloody small, but the other thing I find is there are a limited amount of games I can play online at the same time. I mean, I really struggle if I'm playing two games of Twilight Struggle at the same time. Struggle. So if I was playing you and I was playing someone else, I have a strategy in my head, but then I swap to another one and there's a different, there's a whole thing being played out there that's completely different to the other one. And it does take a lot of concentration. Likewise, certain games. Now, there are discrete games like Star Realms, which are mindless to a certain extent. Not that I ever win it. You can play pretty quick and you can have a few games going at the same time because it's often the same strategy in it. One of the things, like we talked about dedicated arenas to play, like Board Game Arena, and say I like Tabletop Simulator. It's just during COVID we used that a lot, and we substituted our Thursday nights to be online. But there are others. They've all got their pluses and minuses. But it's a great way to play with each other, and it's a nice way to put it together. But if you want to kind of have all the bells and whistles, in a lot of cases, a good app, like say Through the Ages or Dune Imperium is kind of my favorite at the moment. They do all the rules for you, but they're dedicated applications. They're like one-shot cartridges, if you will, that do just that. And when they do it, if they do async well, they're really, really good games. With that, what are you going to say, Philip?
I agree with you. I mean, so I prefer BGA to Tabletop Simulator just because I think the user interface is a lot better. Tabletop Simulator has a lot more games, but getting, you know, the controls are not intuitive. You have to basically understand how to move the table, how to move the pieces, how to zoom in, how to zoom out. That one is really, because it really does trying to simulate a table, and you're sitting way up high, and so you have to zoom in to take a look at all the different pieces. Whereas Board Game Arena, you can click on different buttons to see the board, and you can expand in and expand out. It's a little bit more naturally. But I do agree with you, though. It's, you know, there's, it's hard to have a lot. Like I was just taking a look how many games I have going on simultaneously right now. So I have 5 games going on. okay. Architects of the Western Kingdom. Of West Kingdom, Clans of Caledonia, PAX Premier, Automobiles, AEG's Automobiles, and Splendor Duel. Now, Splendor Duel is not a difficult game. I mean, basically, you can come in, see what's going on, and very quickly figure out what's going on. And that's a nice smaller game. You know, and certainly I would say the implementations of certain games on cell phones have also been very good. Like, you know, the Star Realms implementation is very good. The Isle of Skye implementation is very good on cell phones. Mm-hmm. You know, Splendor on cell phones is also very well done. And, you know, these are very simple games that you can play very quickly. Netflix has actually gotten into the gaming industry, and you can download games from Netflix. And so I've been playing, you know, Exploding Kitten. And that's, you know, a 2-minute mindless game.
Sure.
Usually I end up blowing up pretty quickly. But it's, you know, just like in my real life. So, you know, I think it's really dependent on which, how big the game is. And certainly I've played 18XX games online, you know, where there's a website that is dedicated just to 18XX games. For those that are interested, it's 18XX.games. So pretty easy to remember.
Great name. Yeah.
Yeah. Great name. Very easy to remember. But those games are so long and so big, it's very hard to keep track of what everyone is doing, how much money is left in the bank, you know, when are trains going to become available, when do trains rust out, and it just, that takes a lot more effort to figure out what's going on.
Sure. No, and that's the thing. I mean, when you're face-to-face, it's one game. Well, let's not be coy. We have played games where we're also having a sneaky turn on something else on our phones while we're waiting for somebody to take their turn, if it's a kind of relaxed evening of gaming. But it's one thing, and I don't have the RAM in my brain to have more than a few games going. I start to kind of gas out at about 4 games or so. And like anything, like, there are disadvantages. It's 2 digital games. It's not as good as, you know, you're experiencing digital games or face-to-face games, with all your senses. You've got vision and sound when it comes to digital games. Speaking of which, we spoke about this before, but a lot of zeros and ones have passed under the digital bridge since we spoke. What are your top 5 apps /Steam/ whatever you're having yourself games at the moment, Philip? Your number 5.
So we'll do it our usual snake, going straight with. So number 5 is actually Isle of Skye.
Oh, okay. I have never played.
First of all, it's a very good game. It has a bidding component. It has a very good AI that makes it very challenging. It's extremely well done. The interaction with the board is, and the laying of the tiles is, very intuitive, and it's very easy to track what's going on. So I play that on my cell phone. It's a great implementation. I also have it on Steam, which is also well done. So Isle of Skye is my number 5. What's your number 5?
My number 5 is a little bit different. It's Blood Bowl.
Oh.
Now, I've never actually played Blood Bowl face-to-face with models. I've only ever played it in digital. And it's a long haul. If you want to play, it's like, you know, it's a little bit, I guess, like baseball highlights, insofar as it's not just one match. It's played over a range of matches where your team is changing or your deck is changing. It's still a great game. It's been around a long time. Again, I occasionally win, not all that often, but I certainly have fun playing it. And I recommend it to anybody who, you know, gets a chance. And the thing about it is, I don't need to have a painted team. I know that's blasphemy to some, but I don't actually need to have, I can dip my toe in when I want. It is kind of face-to-face-ish insofar as there is no async part to it. You have 4 minutes to take, or 2 minutes if you're hardcore, to take your turn against somebody else. But it's great fun. Yeah, that's my number 5.
And what's your number 4?
My number 4, and I'm thinking hard about this, would be...
Oh, that's the smoke coming out of your ears.
That's exactly it. Would be Root. And I really like Root. I didn't think I would. The whole kind of I'm looking at a copy of and all the expansions and the mats and everything for it, but it doesn't get played, but the online version certainly does. and I've played quite a few games of it, and it took quite an amount of time to kind of get my head around some of the races in it. But it's a great game. Yeah, and it's well implemented.
And are you playing that on Steam?
No, yeah, I'm sorry, I am indeed. I automatically said no to whatever you said there. I play it on Steam.
Well, the first thing, every time I say something, your immediate reaction is no.
No, I disagree.
All right, so for me, number four is Potion Explosion.
Oh,
nice,
wow.
Nice, simple game. There's very little, there is interaction, but when it's your turn, and, the board is what the board is. So it's a great game to play asynchronously. It has a nice app. The AI is pretty good. Not fantastic, but it's pretty good. I would say that my number four is, it's both on Steam, it's on BGA, and it has its own app.
Okay, so, let's have a look.
So I happen to be a big fan of Potion Explosion. Okay. My number three, and this is one that's on my phone, is Splendor.
Okay.
So I play, and it has it's a version that is an app on my phone. You can play it with others. It's very simple, and it's one of those things that, I can just pick up and play Splendor for, a few minutes. And it, again, intuitive, easy to figure out what's going on. It has one little glitch at the beginning that can sometimes hit with the beginning on the Android. I don't know if it exists if that glitch exists on the on iOS, but it's a good simple game and I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's funny. I find Splendor to be a real Rain Man game. Some people just absolutely get it and see a path through the explosion, and others don't. I'm the ones who don't. I drag along, and it's a fine game if other people are bad at it as well. But I think there's some games that work well and some that don't work so well, which we'll chat about after this. Mm-hmm. My number three would be Twilight Struggle.
Mm.
Twilight Struggle, and also I'll throw in Labyrinth, War and Terror are nice games. They're two player, fair enough, but they're really good. Like Twilight Struggle is a super duper game, and always has been as a two-player. It's probably my favorite two-player game, but the implementation of it, it's been patched and updated and changed around. Twilight Struggle is a cracker. I recommend you go out and buy it now. just go. That's number three. And number two, I would say, is Through the Ages, which not only is a wonderful game, but it's the best value app I have ever bought. I think I've been playing it on the phone for about 7 or 8 years. I bought one copy of it. And on any given week, there's a game going, or there's a game I'm being invited to. And it's the one we keep coming back to. And funny enough, the group I game with now, we've never played it face-to-face, even though I have a copy of the expansion, but we've never actually got it out because it's so much easier just to fire it up on the phone and go at it. What's your remaining just before our big reveal at number one?
So my number two, and this only exists as far as I know on BGA, it is the implementation of AEG's Automobiles, which is a fantastic bag building game. And it's a race game. You have different tracks that you can go on, and you're putting in cubes. But as you pull out cubes, you're trying to figure out how to move the car around, and you get special. And there are cubes that give you special abilities. As I said, it only exists at this point on BGA. It is one of my favorite games to play online. The implementation on BGA is fantastic, and you can quickly see what each cube does, and it shows you how your car is going to move. It's just phenomenal, and I really enjoy that game. And I'm going to give you some honorable mentions before we, and then you'll do your number two, your honorable mentions, and the number one. But some honorable mentions, and I was just looking at my phone. Honorable mention number one is Star Realms. It's a very good implementation. It's very good, straightforward, easy game to do. The next one is going to be It's a dice rolling game. And I keep forgetting what it's called. The
Ganshan.
Yeah, Ganshan, right. Ganshan. That's a really good game to play on the phone. Again, it's a solitaire game. It's a roll and play. It's very good. Antor is also very good. And then lastly, Baseball Highlights 2045. Now, I know, everybody says, well, why isn't that number one? Because that's your number one game. There's one major problem with the game is fine. The AI is okay, but it hasn't really been updated. The servers haven't been updated. And there's really, you really can't get a multiplayer game going and you can't play it asynchronously. And in a lot of cases, the server dies and you lose the game completely.
Okay.
And you can't go back to it. It's a great game. The implementation is done fine, except there's these major server issues. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't make it in the top one. What is your number two in your honorable mentions?
Well, my number, I think I hit number two with Through the Ages, but.
Oh, three. Okay. Yeah, which honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions. I'm looking at my list here. Would be Star Realms again, same as yourself. Concordia is very well done as an app. Mm. It's really good.
On Steam, right?
On Steam, yeah. And Concordia's cracker of a game. Like,
yeah, that's a great game.
Yeah. Undaunted is a recent one. Mm. Now, it works fine. It's a tiny bit rough on the edges, around the edges, but Undaunted, it works really, really well as a two-player. The async, I've played a few games against friends. It does tend to go on a long time, and this is a problem with certain games where there's too much player interaction. If you look at Through the Ages as a benchmark, you take maybe 20 turns in Through the Ages, and we're done. The likes of Undaunted, you're taking maybe 50, 60, more turns to finish a game. And it's a lot. The same with the other one I wasn't a massive fan of. Oh, my God, what's it called? I'm going to run over here and I'm going to look at the name because it's on the thing.
And now we see Vic walking away from the computer.
Dominion. It's through. Dominion. Yeah, Dominion. There is a digital version of Dominion. I can't say I was a massive fan because it was hard enough to remember what I was doing, let alone the other players. And those are my honorable mentions. So revealing my favorite current one, it's Dune Imperium. And I'm a big fan.
What platform is Steam. That on? Oh, Steam.
It's on Steam, yeah. Now, Dune Imperium is the game. The same guys that did Root have released it. And it's base game Dune Imperium with no expansions. I know that Dune Uprising is considered by many to be a superior game. I think it's a different game. It uses the same mechanics and they're very similar. And I wouldn't say one is better over the other. Although Uprising is better. But Dune itself is excellent. The AI is excellent. It's for a game that's only come out in the last few months. It's very, very slick and very well done. Like there aren't, it's not buggy like a lot of kind of new releases. So I'd recommend that to anybody who wants to dip their toe in the water. So Philip, number one.
So I'm gonna break the rules and I have two number ones that share the top spot for me.
Go for it.
Number one, so the two are Scythe. The Steam implementation is exceptional. Plays decently asynchronously, and it's really well done, and the graphics are incredible. And it's a great game for me to play solo. And the AI is very good to play solo over, 30 minutes or 20 minutes. Like when I'm eating lunch and I can just play that at my desk.
Very good.
On my Surface. Now, the other one, which is a BGA only implementation, is Clans of Caledonia. The implementation, first of all, it's a great game. It's a top 15 game for me. And the implementation on BGA is just fantastic. And so it's very easy to see what's going on. The board, because the boards are smaller, really, really a lot of fun. And I love the game, and the implementation on BGA is fantastic. And it's a game that actually plays reasonably well asynchronously. Now, I'm going to throw a curveball. We didn't talk about this before. But
see the way you worked in baseball into it. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I haven't hung up my cleats yet. Oh, wait, another baseball analogy.
Ah, for good.
The question I'm going to ask you is, what game do you absolutely love and absolutely despise its digital implementation?
That's an easy one. Waterdeep, Lords of Waterdeep.
Oh,
it's very well implemented. It's hard to see on your phone. There's a couple of games that seem to be my nemesis, excluding nemesis. Yeah, that's one of them. I mean, I don't think I've ever won a game of Lords of Waterdeep, either the base game or with the expansion. And I've played it, but the thing about it is it gives me hope. And that's the worst sin of all, because I'm playing it, I get kind of 10, 15 points ahead. And it's like a cyclist that's left the peloton, heading away, and then gets reeled in by the pack just before they get to the finish line. And that's the game for me. There's nothing wrong with the implementation. It's slick. It's been around for a long time. Async works. And actually, I'm going to hit on something interesting now that will make you go, ooh. I hate it and like it. Well, I don't love it, but I hate it and like it at the same time. What about yourself?
So the one game that I absolutely love and absolutely hate the implementation of, and I talked about it briefly, is Gaia Project.
Okay.
I mean, Lords of Waterdeep is okay, but the problem with Gaia Project is there's so much going on. There's so many boards that you have to keep track of. You know, everybody has their own special abilities. It's just really difficult to keep track of. And then there's a lot of like little moves, in between moves that things can get hung up on for a long time. And it really needs a huge screen if you're going to play it at all.
Yeah.
Because there's just too much going on. And I love the game. And when it's on the table, it's much easier for me, you know, my eye to dart to the end of round or the end of game scoring, to the player boards, to the map. You just really can't do that on the screen. And also, it's just the representation of the different buildings is terrible. Now, I'm going to ask one more question. Mm-hmm. What game do you not really love as a board game, but on the app, it makes it actually kind of enjoyable? And also, I'll tell you what mine is. And then while you think about it for yourself, for me, it's football highlights.
You mentioned this. Yeah.
And so as a game, it's really not great, which is unfortunate because I love baseball highlights 2045 so much. But as an app, it actually makes sense and it works well. So it's really kind of very interesting to see how that's different. You know, how the different apps can actually turn not a great game into actually something fun. So for me, it's football highlights. What about for you?
That's a hard one. The only one I can think of is Through the Ages, insofar as it's very fiddly as a board game, setting it up, but it's so simple. In fact, for a long time, I didn't own a copy of Through the Ages. And if I didn't own a paper copy or a cardboard copy, it wouldn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to you on that. Next time we do a podcast, I'll have a think. Here's one I'm going to throw at you, Philip, is one of the things that I think makes games, not so much, but to a certain extent, a success or not a success, is their messaging. Because you can have an async game, I'm trying to think of an example. There are a few where they're alerting you to the fact that it's your turn is not well done. Yeah.
BGA is actually very good about alerting you to when it's your turn on for each game that you're playing. But for other ones, like 18, the 18XX ones, it's not very good.
Yeah. I think if you don't know it's your turn, you know, it really drags things out. And if it's almost a prerequisite for having a game online that you want to get this right. And some companies get it bang on. I mean, I know I mentioned Through the Ages a lot, but it's kind of a benchmark for how to do it right. And in fairness, they have had like a lot of years to get it right, and they continually update it and tweak it. But it breaks my heart when you're playing a good game. Root, I think, was like that, but they improved it where you go into it to find, oh, it was my turn. I've been waiting a day for someone to take a turn, and I'm the one holding it up.
Well, I think Twilight Struggle also has that it's not very good at letting you know when it's your turn.
Yeah, it does send you an email, but who reads emails?
I what's an email? Well, I think we've beaten this horse pretty much to the ground, and I feel sorry for, and I apologize to everybody who is an equestrian. But I think it's, you know, I think, you know, in this digital age, and, you know, certainly with COVID, board games on, you know, a variety of digital platforms and different services have really come to the forefront. I mean, I think it would be hard to find someone who would, you know, unless they're like a huge introvert and hate people and or just hate seeing me, which is, you know, quite a few people, would not want to play
in silence there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wouldn't want to play in person. But I think, given, you know, there just needs to be parameters and think through how you approach these games, which games make more sense as an app and those that don't. And it's an interesting topic, and hopefully, you know, some of these games will continue to be supported and won't end up in the dustbin of history or have an issue with servers like Baseball Highlight 2045.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. One of the things I didn't talk about was I tried a couple of occasions Tabletop Simulator through VR. So you could physically pick up the pieces and put them down and adjust the board and so on. Wasn't great. But it's coming. And I mean, along with things like, you know, just having a blank set of cards, and when you look at it through your contact lenses, it will project onto those what the cards are you're using. But that's a little bit down the line yet. And, you know, we're still kind of toe in the water. We're very much at the kind of early stages of digital board games, and they will improve as time goes by.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, as we like to say, thanks very much for listening, and play more games.
Play more online games. Take care.
Bye.